Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. But for today, the phone lines are not open, so we can bring you a very special teaching edition of Basic Gospel. So turn up the volume and listen closely, because there's something in this message today for you. Now for that message, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to be talking today about faith. We've been talking all month about the church, that we have been called out by God. We have crossed over from death to life. We have been raised to walk in the newness of life. We've been joined together as a body of believers. Well, what does this new life look like? Well, faith is the operative word in the New Testament. Everywhere we turn, we see faith mentioned. And we need to find out what faith really looks like. And so we're going to spend a couple of days in talking about basically the how of faith, painting a picture of what faith looks like for us on an individual basis, and also what it looks like corporately as the body of Christ. Well, to start, we're going to go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11. And if you know anything about the book of Hebrews, it's been described as the book of faith. Faith from start to finish. It's a powerful, powerful book. But in the 11th chapter, we see a definition of faith. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So if you want a definition of faith, that is the key verse. And there's some significant words in this particular passage. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And Richard, you've done a lot of study on faith. You have a series on that, First Faith, Then Freedom. And you did a series at our worship services a number of years ago, and it was a powerful, powerful series. And you started out with this particular definition. In your studies, what did you discover about this definition of faith? What about these words assurance and conviction?
Well, they have to do with the fact that we are responding to something God has said. In fact, all through the Bible, faith is about this response. We tend to think of it either as the faith in terms of a set of teaching, or, you know, I'm faithful because I do good. No, it has nothing to do with that. This stuff about hope and you know, things we can't see and this assurance, these are our responses to God's statements to us that we are His children. We are forgiven. We have assurance. All of these things that He has promised, and when we are absolutely convinced of this stuff, I mean, this is bet the farm kind of convinced. This is the kind of assurance or certainty that it doesn't matter what happens to me, what you say to me, what you do to me, I am going to stake my life on what God says about me in Jesus Christ. That's the kind of hope and assurance and certainty and all of that that the writer to Hebrews is talking about.
Absolutely. And I love words. I love looking up words in the Greek dictionary. Mm-hmm. I love looking up words in our dictionary. I think words are fascinating. And the writer of Hebrews chose particular words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this word faith itself means a firm persuasion or a conviction or belief in the truth. And I think this gospel message, when it hits our hearts, when we respond in faith, what that means is we're fully persuaded that what we have heard is true,
yes,
that Jesus Christ is indeed who He claimed to be, that He is God in the flesh, and that He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and He is the creator of all things, that by His power He holds all things together. So this gospel message fully persuades us of this truth. We also become fully persuaded that our sins have been forgiven once and for all, that we have been declared righteous. So God gives us all of this information in Christ. He penetrates these souls and these hearts and these spirits of ours. He brings that truth to us. And this response of faith is our saying to God, we're persuaded that this is true.
That's exactly right.
And this assurance, I like this word, it means to place or set under. That's the actual meaning of the word. So it's that which underlies the apparent, thus the reality. It's the essence or something or substance of something. That's what faith is. It's the substance of this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. And conviction is simply a word that means proof or evidence. It's the evidence. Our faith is the evidence of things not seen. And as you've mentioned a number of times on the broadcast, we can't see spiritual truths.
No.
God is spirit. No one has ever seen God face to face. What we know of God has been revealed to us in the person of Christ Jesus. We can't see forgiveness. We can't see righteousness. We can't see redemption. We can't see any of those things, but our faith is evidence that we believe those things to be true.
Yes.
So this is a very powerful word. And when we look at it, we realize that it's not a passive word, but it's a very active word.
Yes.
And it's active in the sense that it is connected to the active one, Jesus Christ himself. He's not passive. He is active. He initiated. We respond. So that's the definition of faith. And now we need to look at the source of faith. In the Bible, we read in Hebrews 12:2. Again, we're going back to that particular book. In 12:2, it reads this, that Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith. And that's the English Standard Version. It's a wonderful, wonderful verse. So if we want to know the source of faith, it's Jesus Christ himself.
Yes.
He is the author and perfecter. So he authors faith inside of us, and he perfects it. We think that's something that's just totally left to us. It's our faith. It's our responsibility. No, it works in conjunction with Jesus Christ himself. Our faith works in conjunction with the grace of God that's been revealed to us in Christ Jesus. Those go hand in glove. Now, it's interesting, Richard, we have a lot of critics of the grace of God. There are so many folks out there that raise flags and say, well, hold on, that sounds like easy believism. That sounds like cheap stuff. That sounds like we can just go out and do anything we want. There has to be a balance. We have to strike a balance. And so we, in our human minds, try to strike that balance between grace and law. Those are the two elements sitting on the scales. And when those scales are properly balanced, we know everything's A-OK. But that's not the balance that the Word of God strikes. The balance is grace through faith. That's how this life is balanced. We are saved by grace through faith. This salvation life that we live out in this world today is lived out in exactly the same way, by grace through faith. So faith is the balance. Grace and faith are working hand in glove. Jesus is the initiator. We are the responder. He is the founder and perfecter of faith. Also in Romans 10, we read this, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And I think this is a very significant verse because it really attaches our faith to the object of our faith.
Yes.
There is no faith apart from hearing the word concerning Christ Jesus. Faith isn't a separate entity. It has meaning, it has purpose, it has substance only in terms of Christ Jesus. That's an important truth that we need to know, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. If it wasn't for Jesus, there would be no faith. Even in the Old Covenant, and the people who think you have to mix law and grace completely misunderstand law. Even in the Old Covenant, what God said was, I, God, brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery. Your response to me will look like this. And then he defined a whole people group. He defined a line through which to bring the promised seed. But in that definition of how they would respond to him was nothing about ultimate salvation. It was just this protective cocoon that he wove around a particular people group, all of which was pointing to Jesus, so that their faith could be rewarded in their future, our faith could be rewarded now, and everyone's faith could be rewarded as the result of the end of time when Jesus is shown to be ultimately victorious. Without Jesus, there is no faith, period, in the story.
Yeah. So when we hear out in the world that somebody is, we just have to have faith, that sort of thing, that's totally meaningless apart from Christ Jesus, the faith that the Word of God reveals to us. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. How do you grow your faith? Well, you keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
That's where you look. That's who you look to. If you want your faith to grow, it's going to grow in direct proportion to your knowledge of Christ Jesus. So what is the object of our faith? It's simply Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. It's the gospel. I say the Word of God. Why? Because the Bible from start to finish is God's testimony concerning his Son. Yes. So when we read the Word of God, we're reading the Word of God to find out about Jesus, to have the Spirit of God reveal to us the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the gospel, what is the gospel? Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. So everything about faith is connected to Jesus. Apart from him, there is no faith.
That's right. And in the context of this month's ongoing conversation, without Jesus, there's no church. So Jesus is everything. And it's only those of us who are children of God, members of his body, the church, who can even begin to understand a little bit what he's talking about when he says to have faith in him. It is so tightly coupled to Jesus Christ that it's not even worth talking about apart from him.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Bob Davis and Richard Pfeiffer. This is a special teaching edition of Basic Gospel as we are talking about faith, the how-to of faith. Now, when you look at the Word of God, and as I've looked at the Word of God, the New Testament, I see some stages of faith. We start out, and it's, you know, we just have a small knowledge of Christ Jesus, and there's something at that point in time that Jesus wants to work in us. And then as we get settled in what Jesus wants to work in us at that time, he moves us to the next stage of faith, and then to the next stage of faith. And I've identified these with 3 points. So the first stage of faith is simply rest and security. God wants us to rest in what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. So the first stage of faith is rest and security. That's why John wrote, for example, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, I write to you, my little children, that your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So what is it that God wants us to know right at the very beginning of this relationship that we now have with Jesus Christ? Is that our sins have been forgiven. Well, once we know that our sins have been forgiven, what's the result of that? It's rest. It's a sense of security. Also, God has sent his Spirit to live inside of us. And by his Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. We see in Romans 8, chapter 8, this is the pinnacle of all of the Word of God. This is where all roads lead, is to Romans chapter 8, and the fact that we can be convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Well, how do we reach that point? Well, it starts out by telling us that God's Spirit bears testimony with our human spirits that indeed we are children of God. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Well, when we know that we know that we know that we're children of God, we have a sense of security. I belong. I'm part of the family. I am part of the people of God. I am a member of the body of Christ. So the first stage of faith is rest and security. That's what Jesus Christ wants to work inside each of every one of us. If you are struggling right now with forgiveness of sins, if you think God is going to punish you for something that you have done, you're not resting in Christ Jesus. It's time to rest, to recognize that the shed blood of Jesus took away your sins once and for all, and because you are in Christ, your sins have been forgiven. That's the gift that you have received. And as a result of that, there is therefore now no condemnation for you. Do you believe it? Has this message of Christ fully persuaded you that that is true? If so, you will be resting in Jesus, and you will have security that you truly belong to Him. Now, the second stage of faith I have identified or labeled as victory. There are all kinds of temptations and hurdles and obstacles that the world throws at us. And there's this conflict. When we were lost, when we were dead in sin, when we were separated from the life of God, all we knew was the world system. We were actively involved in the world system. We were on a pathway leading us away from truth, away from gospel, away from Christ Jesus. That's the way of the world. It moves us in the wrong direction. Well, Jesus rescues us. He lifts us off of that path, and He places us on a new path. Well, we still have fleshly patterns. That old way created some, in sports we call it muscle memory. But in the spiritual realm, it's fleshly memory. There's the flesh, and it remembers all the things that it used to be gratified by, and it's constantly kind of bucking this new direction and trying to pull us back to that old path. And we stumble and we fall and we give in, and when we do, we start to wonder about the first stage of faith. Do I really belong? Have my sins truly been forgiven? But there comes a point when we start experience victory over these temptations. As it talks about in Titus 2, the grace of God teaches us to say no to sin and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. That's victory. And that's where God wants to lead us. That's what Christ is going to be doing in our hearts and lives, is developing our faith in such a way that we experience victory in this world today. John wrote about this as well. So he wrote to little children, your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. He also writes to young men. So we think of this as growth of maturity. And so this is where I've gotten these stages of faith. So to these young men, he writes this: I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. That's victory.
Yes.
And how have you overcome the evil one? The grace of God has taught you to say no to sin and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. That's how you've gained victory. He goes on to say, I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you. So you heard the Word of God. Somebody spoke the Word of God to you. You may have read it in the Bible. So it was outside starting to work its way in. In this stage of victory, the Word of God is living in us. We sense it. We feel it. And as we make decisions, we sense the Word of God directing those decisions. challenging what the world is offering and helping us see it for what it really is. So in this stage, there's victory. So stage one, rest and security. Stage two of faith is victory. Now, you may be in this conflict. You may be experiencing the desires of the flesh and the desires of the spirit just butting heads, and you sense it powerfully, and you're wondering, what do I do? Well, allow Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith, to bring that faith to its completion, to bring you to a point of victory. The third stage is purpose. This faith that we have starts to take on a purpose in our lives. God didn't just save us and let us go. God saved us for a purpose. And we see that purpose within the church, within the body of Christ. And that purpose is to be a reflection of God's goodness, of God's glory, of God's grace, of God's forgiveness, of God's love in this world today. What an amazing purpose. We derive purpose from a lot of things. We derive purpose from what we do in our jobs. There are folks that, you know, they create, they come up with new inventions, they innovate new things, and it changes the way we do business. Apple computers change the way we do work. And there's great purpose in that. But how much more do we as children of God have as the people of God representing Him in this world today, being ministers of the new covenant, being ministers of reconciliation? That's purpose. Well, it takes some time for us to grow into that purpose. We may be able to verbalize that purpose when we first come to faith. We may be able to share that purpose with others, but it hasn't really become reality to us. And so as our faith matures, as we go through these stages, we come to this sense that I have real purpose in this world. And that is a very powerful thing.
Yeah.
One of the amazing things about these three states is that the farthest a child of God can fall is back into the forgiveness and security aspect of this faith walk. Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us for this edition, a very special one, and I hope that you have enjoyed and benefited from it, everybody. You know, sometimes the question comes up, where should I give to support the work of God? Well, our answer is always the same. Give to the church or ministry or both where you're hearing truth, where you're getting answers to your questions and guidance for living a life guided by the indwelling Spirit of Jesus Christ, and where you know others are going to hear the truth as well. Of course, we hope that Basic Gospel is one of those ministries meeting your needs. It's why we do a live program every day, friends, so that you can call up and speak directly with us, so you can get answers, so you can ask, what should I do in this situation I find myself in? Or maybe just call in and blow off a little steam at things that are happening in this fast-paced modern world and how you should respond to it. That's Basic Gospel. It's why we are here every day. And if you have found answers to your questions, if you've heard truth that has set you on a new spirit-guided path, if you found this broadcast as a safety valve for the frustrations of life, well, those are all the reasons we ask you to give to support this ministry as we proclaim truth that sets us free. And we need your help to keep the good news coming, everybody. Please help today with a gift of any amount. No matter how large or how small, it all helps. And will help keep this program on the air every day, proclaiming Jesus Christ and the fullness of His love, grace, and life. Want to be a part of that? Well, please go online right now if you can and make your most generous gift to keep Basic Gospel on the air. You'll find the support link in the middle of the header at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. We need your help, friends. We hope to hear from you today. Well, again, thanks for joining us for this special edition. We look forward to another one next time. So thanks for joining us. And now for Bob and Richard of the ministry staff, Bob Davis, saying God bless you, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.